Praise God, 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 praise God.
Colossians chapter 2 this morning. Or Colossians chapter 1, I should say. Colossians chapter 1. We'll be looking here in just a moment. Just a reminder of a few things. Paul mentioned about revival prep coming up on the weekend of December 7 and 8. So this is really for anyone. On Saturday morning, December 7th, from 10 till 1, Evangelist Young and Evangelist Van Gelderen will be preaching, and so this is open to anybody. I know a number of our men normally go to this, but really this is for men or women. So these have become like two of our favorites here at Grace Baptist. So please take advantage of that. Come out, listen to God's men preach, and then that Sunday morning we will check. I'll check with Brother Van Gelderen. We may have a combined adult class here. We'll take advantage of having Brother Van Gelderen here that morning at the 9:30 hour, and then he will be preaching for us here. And that's only the beginning, because that night, both Brother Dave Young and Brother Van Gelderen will be preaching again as many churches gather together as we do now annually there at Bible Baptist Temple. So I trust that you will make a special effort to come out to Bible Baptist. That service will begin at 6 o'clock. And that will be fantastic. Those men are just tremendous preachers, and I'm looking forward to that weekend very much. So hopefully you'll take advantage of getting as much as you can. One of the nice things now about modern technology, you can get all these podcasts, men like Scott Pauley and Dave Young, men like Rich Tozer, and man, you can listen to godly preaching all day long. I mean, literally, you can listen. You can even find people that have been in heaven for several years and still find their messages online. You can just fill your heart and mind with godly preaching. So take advantage of it, folks. Take advantage of that as much as you possibly can. You'll notice in the track racks we have Christmas tracks now. Again, I will emphasize this. In fact, I just heard this from someone recently. People are just more open right now. You get into this holiday mindset. By the way, do you know the word holiday? In Webster's, I think it was like the 1803 edition, it was not called holiday, it was called holy day. The term holiday actually means holy day. And I think Thanksgiving is a holy day for believers to be able to give God thanks. We were talking about traditions a little bit in our class this morning, and finding godly traditions that you can do, you know, like many of you probably do this already. If you sit down together with family for Thanksgiving meal, before you spend time eating, you read scripture. And then you go around the room, just take opportunity to give thanks to God for things that he's done in your life. So beginning with this week, all the way through New Year's, people seem to be more receptive. So I encourage you, these are extremely good tracks, very clear with the gospel. And they're attractive. People will be receptive to these. Also, you know, there are a number of Hispanic folks in our community now. So we do have Spanish tracks now available in both foyers. So take advantage of those things and use those as part of your way of presenting the gospel to folks. Also, just wanted to mention to the deacons and trustees, we do meet tonight after this service. And one of the things we will be doing is looking at those men who have said that they are willing to possibly serve as deacon or trustee, and our deacons tonight will be nominating those that you folks have suggested. So we have a couple men, and you know who you are, that have not yet given me your final answer, so I need you to do that before you leave here today. Just let me know. Either way, just let me know. Most of the others have responded, but I just need to know those things for tonight. All right, let's take a look at our Bibles this morning. Let's have a word of prayer first, and then we'll get right into God's Word. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity to be called sons of God. And so you tell us there in 1 John chapter 3. Really, Lord, we don't need to read it to know it. Sometimes it's just hard to believe that we're really saved, that we really do have a home in heaven. Sometimes it's hard to believe because we still struggle in this flesh to grasp the reality that our sins have been put under the blood, our sins are forgiven and forgotten, and that you love us and you have made us your own. So Lord, help us as we gather around your table this morning and remember what your Son did, to do it with a heart attitude of thanksgiving. We'll thank you for what is done in this service today and throughout the rest of the day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the first day of the week of, again, I mentioned a few moments ago, the National Time of Thanksgiving. And what a wonderful week it can be for you and me who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own Lord and Savior. This should be a special week. Should be a very special week. But the reality is, and I'm glad for the time of setting a week aside, a day aside, to recognize what God has done. But for you and me, every day should be Thanksgiving Day. Now, I'm not talking about having turkey and dressing every day. Although that would not bother me. I could easily do that. Pumpkin pie especially. I like pumpkin pie. Now, I'm making everybody hungry, right? You ready to go home? You got about 2 more hours, and then I'll let you go. Every day should be Thanksgiving Day. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Of all that we have for which to be thankful, nothing could be greater than what we remember this morning by this table, what Jesus Christ did for us. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 12 again. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Just a couple simple points here this morning before we partake of communion. We're going to remember the Lord's death, and as we're commanded, we're to do that till he comes or until we go to meet him. But this morning especially, we're going to remember what Jesus saved us from and what Jesus has prepared us for. And we find that here in verse 13. You notice in verse 13 these words, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Folks, give thanks for what Jesus saved you and me from. He has saved us from the power of darkness. He rescued you and me from the authority, and that's what the word power really indicates here, the authority that Satan gave after Adam fell into sin. He plunged humanity, the human race, into sin. The Bible tells us in John chapter 8, verse 44, this is something that people don't like to hear, but it's reality. I've heard over the years people say to me, oh, we're all children of God. Jesus said, that's not true. John 8, 44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, the 19th verse, last part of the verse, he said this, the whole world lieth in darkness. The kingdom of darkness dominates this planet, and I don't think that's a surprise to anyone, seeing what happens among nations. War is almost like a blood sport now. Constant war upon this planet. And the Bible tells us that it will continue to grow worse and worse as we draw near to the end. Why? Because this planet is dominated by the kingdom of darkness. The whole world. That means me. That means you. Everyone plunged into darkness because of Satan through man's fall, given in a sense authority over this place. Jesus said in John 12:46, listen to this, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ personally, there has never been that moment in your life where you have personally called upon Him to come into you, cleanse you from your sin, allow Him to wash you in His blood, and ask His forgiveness and put your faith in Him. If that moment has not happened, the Bible tells us that you are part of the kingdom of darkness. You abide in darkness. But I want you to know good news. Jesus came a light into the world so that if you will believe on Him, you will no longer have to abide in that darkness. The thing is that when people are in darkness, spiritual darkness, they really don't realize it. They really don't realize it. Jesus rescued you and me from darkness that once blinded our minds. Most people who are in the kingdom of darkness don't understand the darkness that they're in. But those of us who have seen the light of Jesus Christ, we understand now. Is that not true? Is that not true? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's another great thing about this time of year, remembering that God sent the light into the world. He sent the light into the world, the light of His Son. And when you and I come to that realization that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, from that kingdom of darkness, you come to know this truth. There's no more condemnation. There is no fear of eternal judgment. There is no fear of separation from God. There's no fear of eternal death. There's no fear of dread, no torment. I mean, brother, sister, it's all good. Amen. Everything in Jesus Christ is good. Amen. Everything. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Have you experienced that?
Amen.
As a believer, I'll put it this way. I want to be very careful how I say this. I don't want to cheapen salvation. It is, in a sense, fire insurance from hell, is it not? I'm not going to hell, and I never have that fear. And I praise the Lord for that. By the way, I don't think that's a bad motive, a reason to be saved. And some save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. If you've got a fear of hell today, that's a good thing. If you're a Christian, you no longer have to fear that. Why? Because you and I, notice what he said, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Praise the Lord. Notice the second part of verse 13. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Folks, we should give thanks for what Jesus has saved us from, and we should give thanks for what Jesus has prepared us to or for. I have a new family. I have a new kingdom. I'm going to pick on Judy Morris here for a moment. Judy, I hope you don't mind me doing this. Judy does have a niece or a grandson somewhere and a granddaughter somewhere, but basically that's all she has. And she really has very little contact with them. But Judy, you are never alone. You are never alone. We know the truth. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's true for you, and that's true for everybody else in this room. But to think that God has translated you, Judy, into His kingdom, and you belong to Him, That's pretty lofty reality. So even when loneliness comes, and I don't know if you get lonely or not, but if you do, what a glorious thought. I no longer am bound by the spiritual kingdom of darkness. I have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and He has made us His children. What a great, great thought. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Go back to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And you hath He quickened. That word, as you well know, means to be made alive. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Now notice this. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air is a title for Satan. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I mean, get this point home. We mentioned it just a few moments ago. The Bible here refers to those who are in the kingdom of darkness as children of disobedience. He refers to those who are in the kingdom of darkness as children of wrath. He never, ever refers to them as children of God. That's why Jesus was so, as the Jews would have said, offensive. Because they got really upset. I mean, these very religious men and women who stood there and spoke with Him that day in John chapter 8 took great offense when He said, "You're not the children of Abraham, nor are you the children of God. Ye are of your father, the devil." That's hard to hear. But it's the truth everybody has to come to realize. It doesn't matter that you were born in America. Doesn't matter if you were born into a religious system. Doesn't matter if you were born into wealth. Doesn't matter if you grew up in a very well-educated family and you have the best of education. None of those things matter. None of those things matter. The only thing that matters, have you been delivered from the power of darkness, and have you been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son? If you have been, wow. What should we do? Give God thanks for it, for all the things that He has done for you and me. Listen, God took us out of Satan's kingdom and into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that's why we are told that He has made us kings and priests. I use the term queen. Judy's a queen. She's part of the royal priesthood. That's exactly what we're told in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, the last part of the verse, and verse 6. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. Every man and woman in here this morning that knows Jesus Christ, you are a king. Ladies, a queen, if you want to put it that way. And you are a priest. What a lofty position. You ought to live up to the position you have. You ought to live up to the name that you now bear within your heart. Listen, I've heard people say this. I heard Dr. Bill Rice years ago, I think it was at Belmont Baptist when I was on staff there, preach. He preached in our church. And he preached out of 1 John. And as he preached, he said, you know, the warnings that are given in 1 John, and that book that helps us understand if we truly are saved or not, he said, one of the things that that book is doing is this. You're a Christian, you ought to live up to the name that you bear. Just like the Rice family, he said. My father would say, you're a Rice, so live like a Rice. Don't live below your name. Christian, you bear the name of Jesus Christ. Live up to the name. Don't muddy it. Don't trample it. Live up to what God has made you. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He said He chose us to be a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, And every time you see that term, I love it. I love that term, a peculiar people. I'm peculiar this morning. I know some people think I'm really, really peculiar. Now, you know that term weird, how it was bantied about in the presidential race. It was used by both sides to call each other weird. That's not what it means. It means that you are God's special possession, a purchased possession. He wanted you so much, He bought you. You're His. He loves you that much. You are a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you and I should show forth the praises of Him, listen to this, who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I saw the light October 31st, 1976. Each of you could stand and say, I saw the light. I was translated into that kingdom of His dear Son, into the kingdom of light. And you could name the day or the place or give the events surrounding that moment you got saved. What a privilege. A privilege to be a king and a priest, to be royalty. Listen, those aren't just silly terms. Those are truths. That's who you are. That is what Jesus Christ has made you. He said He translated us into that kingdom. He changed us from one kingdom to another. How did He do that? Look at verse 14. Verse 13, I should say. Well, I'm in the book of Ephesians. That's why it didn't look right. Look at verse 14 of Colossians 1. In whom, or in Christ, we have redemption through His blood. Here's how He translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He translated you when He bought you. And that's what the word redeem means. You have been purchased. A ransom price was paid for you. What price was that? 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter reminded the people he wrote to, listen, you don't buy your way into heaven. This is a good giving church. And I praise you for that. I'm serious. The church, a little past, the church I pastored down in Atlanta during Christopher's recovery, had developed a terrible reputation in that community because they never paid their debts. Now, the man who came in was there before me. He got the church straightened out, but that reputation kind of lingered, if you would. Several things that church had run into had kind of a bad reputation. You know, we've never had that issue here. You folks made commitments by faith, promise to give to missions. And you know what? You are doing it. You are keeping your commitments. Praise the Lord. You give your tithes and you give above that to offerings. And the Lord has allowed us as a church family to do special blessings for other people. Praise the Lord for that. I praise you for that because of what you have done. But you know, the church I attended as a child, several thousand people, there were several wealthy people there. And you wonder sometimes, I wonder if any of these millionaires that sit in this congregation think maybe they're heavy giving. And it's still that way up there. There's still people that give heavily there. Maybe they think by giving all this money, they're going to earn their way into heaven. Peter said, it's not your silver and your gold, brother. That's not going to get you there. But this will, the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Has the blood of Christ been applied to your life? Have you put your trust in Him alone? Not your religion, not your good works. His blood, His Son. Remember that song we used to sing, or we still sing it, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Redeemed by the what? Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. What a wonderful thing. So he said, here is how you are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. First, by the redemption through his blood. And because of his redemption through his blood, it affords us this. Notice the second part of verse 4. Even the forgiveness of sins. Remember that chorus? Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Remember that? How remember that? Well, there's not enough of you that remember that to sing it, so we won't do that. But that's a good chorus. But that's true. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God. My sins are gone. Why? Because he forgave them. Same book of Colossians. Look at verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you most of your trespasses. Right? What did it say? All. Some in here, and you ought to praise the Lord for this, teenagers, young people, look at me for a minute. You were raised in a setting like this, and I know some of you were, and you've never struggled with drug addiction, if you've never struggled with pornography, if you've never struggled with gang violence, if you've never, and we could just list and list and list the sins. You ought to praise God that you never, ever had to struggle with those things. But there are people in this room who were not saved young and fell into gross sin. And you know what? You can say, well, I never struggled with those things. And we'll put it this way, kind of a good sinner. Sinner, but still a good sinner. You know, I was never violent, never hurt anybody. You know, those kind of things. Well, praise the Lord. But if you sit here and that was your past, good news. He forgives all sin. Amen. Not most sin, all sin. Amen. Written from a man who really was a mass murderer. And there's no other way to put it. The Apostle Paul had the blood of many on his hands. And you know what God did for him? He forgave it all. Amen. Now you may be sitting in this room today and there's something in your life you say, I don't think God could ever forgive me for this. Or you may be watching at home today. You say, God could never forgive me for this. I'm going to tell you something. He will forgive all your sins. He will forgive all your iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You want peace today? Come into the kingdom of light. Put your trust in him. Let him purchase you back from the grasp of Satan through his own blood, and let him forgive your sin. Would you do that today? Would you allow that to happen? What a great God we have. We have a lot to be thankful for. And remember how this passage started out. Go back to verse 12. He says, this is what you ought to do about the truths that the Apostle Paul shared to the church at Colossae. He said, this is what you ought to do. You ought to give thanks unto the Father. Why? Which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You are someone special. You have been made fit for his kingdom. You are special. Now, I'm not trying to be Joel Osteen here this morning, but you know what? There is a reality that God has done so many wonderful things. We ought to be happy about it. We ought to thank God for it. So praise the Lord. And I want to encourage you this way. As I said, every day should be Thanksgiving Day. I'm challenging people. I've said this a few times now. Begin your day entering into his gates with thanksgiving. And chief among all things that we ought to be thankful for is the fact that we know Jesus Christ as our own Savior. Giving thanks unto the Father. which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, because of what his Son, through his broken body and through the blood atonement that this cup and this bread represents. Praise the Lord for it. We bow our heads for prayer. Bow your heads for prayer, please. And if we could have someone, Chris, if you would go down and ask Patty to come. I want to ask this question. How many would say today, by uplifted hand, Pastor, I know that I have been translated into his kingdom. I'm saved. I know that. Could you raise your hand all over the auditorium? All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. You can take your hands down. Is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven? I cannot recall a time personally where I have asked the Lord Jesus to come into my life and forgive me and save me. And I'm concerned about it. And I'd like to know how I can be part of his kingdom and how I can have my sins forgiven. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning, anyone at all? Pray for me. I'm not sure that I know Christ as my Savior. Anyone at all? Well, right now, this is what we're going to do. Patty's going to come. We're going to play a verse of invitation. And while she is playing, I just want you to take time to thank the Lord for what he's done for you. Secondly, before we come to this Lord's table, we always encourage you to, as the Bible says, examine yourself and make sure that there's nothing between you and your Savior. Make sure your heart is right before we take part in communion. So let's all stand with our heads bowed, and Patty's going to begin to play. And while she plays, you take time to pray. If you need to come to the altar, you come to the altar this morning, and we'll have the men who are serving communion come forward at this time.